probably remember Brother France, and he's been a great testimony, and it's been a joy and a privilege to pastor him. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 127. We are thankful to Home Baptist Church for hosting this conference. We know that it is a labor, and we're thankful that they've continued that labor. Thankful for Brother Gordon and inviting us to preach here. We're thankful to be here. It's been great. Probably, if I was to sum up the messages till now, I would say they had to do with our walk of life. Brother Gordon asked me to preach, and two messages became a burden on my heart. Both of them would have had to do with our walk of life. I believe this is the one the Lord would have me to preach. It's on the home, specifically in the first part of the home, marriage. We have young people here today. Praise the Lord. We have some of those that may be older and in the future contemplating marriage. We have some here that are, well, shall we say, young married couples, up to 25 years of marriage. And then we'll just put the rest of you, 25 and over, as older married couples. The message that we have this morning is a needed message. I need it. I've not had a perfect marriage. First 2 years of our married life, I was a lost man. But the Lord gloriously saved me. Amen. Guess what? I didn't have a perfect marriage after that. And after 46 years of marriage, I still don't have a perfect marriage. So I see the need for the Word of God to speak to me. But as I reflect upon our homes, and I reflect upon the Lord's church, this is a needed subject today. I don't know what's happened. I think we've tossed in the towel and gone the way of the world. You know, following after those treasures towards himself and not rich toward God. Psalms 127, verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. We quite often refer to this passage of Scripture in application to the Lord's church. And that's a good application. And I believe the application is there. I believe that's the greater picture that Solomon had in view. Solomon realized that in order to rule God's people, he needed to seek God's face. He needed wisdom from God. And Solomon was permitted to build the temple and a great palace unto himself, but at the Lord's directing, at the Lord's leading. But Solomon also had in view the home, as is the context of this passage of Scripture. Verses 3 through 5. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. Amen. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. So directly, Solomon is referencing the home. Except the Lord build the house. Husbands, wives, you're laboring in vain. Your labors are fruitless. They're worthless. Maybe that's where we're at today. Our marriages have not been built in the Lord or by the Lord. So if it's going to be built by the Lord, we need to start in the beginning. How did it all come about? The Lord created marriage. And he created his design. In the book of Genesis chapter 2 and verses 21 through 25, verse 18, he said that it was not good for man to be alone. God knew that it wasn't good for man to be alone, men. But verse 21 said, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman. Did you catch that? Amen. A woman. We have one man, and we have one woman. Not one man, two women. Amen. Not two men, one woman. Right. Not two men. Right. Not two women. Right. But one man and one woman. And brought her unto the man. That is, he joined them together. One man and one woman. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. In the beginning, God instituted marriage. And he instituted it with one man, one woman. And he joined them together as one. In the book of Matthew, in chapter 19, the Pharisees came to Jesus trying to catch him up and tempt him, and ask him about the question of divorce. Was it lawful or not? Jesus' answer was, have you not read? He took them back to Genesis chapter 2. They were very familiar with the law. Have you not read that in the beginning, he made them male and female? One male and one female. Male is a male, is a man. A female is the counterpart, a female. There again, not two men, not two women, but male and female, and he joined them together. In the book of Malachi, Malachi chapter 2, and in this second chapter of Malachi, God is reproving his priest for profaning his covenant. And then he goes down and he reproves Judah and Israel for profaning his covenant and their practice of adultery. Spiritual adultery. And then he goes on and reproves them in their practices of their marriages and profaning the covenant of marriage. And he says in verse 15 of Malachi chapter 2, and did not he make one? Did he not make one man and one woman and join them together as one? You break your marriage covenant, you're breaking your covenant with God. Moving on quickly. That's the beginning. God established marriage. He created marriage and its design. Amen. Secondly, the nuptial duties. Well, we don't want to hear about that, do we? Well, we're going to jump on the husbands first. Husbands? We read to you in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24 that the man is to leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife. Men, we're to leave fathers and mothers. I've been accused of being a mama's boy, and probably rightly so. I grew up in a household of women and just related better with them and everything. In my adult years, I got pretty close with my dad. Especially after the Lord saved me. Especially after the Lord called me into the ministry. And I loved going home and going over there and in the morning have a cup of coffee with him. We'd sit there and begin to talk scriptures and he'd get to preaching to me, and I'd get to preaching to him. It was a good time. But I'm to cleave unto my wife. How many of you know what the word cleave means? You're to be bonded to her as glue. I've never figured this out. two people, and they fall in love, madly in love, and through the dating process, you can't separate them. They get married, and he's off with the guys. I never understood that. I got married to be with my wife. Not away from her. We're to stick to them like glue. Not to be separated. Greek word means same thing. Matthew chapter 19 and verses 4 through 6. And he answered, said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain too shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. You're one flesh. You're stuck together like glue. It's like a sheet of plywood. Go get that piece of plywood. It's not two different pieces of wood, three different pieces of wood, however it is, glued together, but it's one piece. Husband and wives, that's the way we're to be. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife. Any idea what the joined unto means? It's the same Greek word back in Matthew 19:5 as cleave. You're to be glued to her. So husbands, we're to be glued to our wives. Secondly, husbands, oh, I know you know this. This is elementary, right? You're to love your wives. How many husbands love their wives? Yeah, everybody here, raise your hand, right? Well, maybe not. Someone laughing. Oh, well, maybe I shouldn't have asked for a show of hands. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Well, maybe you knew where we were going, huh? Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Now, of us that raised our hands, how many can raise their hands and say they love their wives? As Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Husbands, we're to love our wives like that. You see, I can't say that I love my wife, because most of our married life, I've been not giving myself for her. I've been, what can I get from it? And you have too, men, if you'll be honest. Verses 28 and 29 of the fifth chapter. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. You're one. You're joined together. You're bonded. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord of the church. The Lord nourishes and cherishes His church, and husbands, we're to do the same for our wives. That's real love. Colossians 3:18 admonishes us the same. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. That is, don't create in them a bitter feeling, a bitter taste in their mouth. You see, I'd like to erase the times that I can remember that I know I had left a bitter taste in my wife's mouth. Look, husbands, God told Israel, if you obey my commandments, I'll bless you. You disobey, I'll curse you. First Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, Peter admonishing wives and then husbands, likewise husbands. Dwell with your wives according to knowledge. According to the knowledge that you get from the Word of God. How we're supposed to dwell with them. And by the way, the context of 1 Peter 3 there is that's whether they're saved or whether they're lost. As long as they'll remain with us, we're to dwell with them according to knowledge. Thirdly, husbands, at one time this was pretty clear. We husbands gloated in this. We were, yes, macho. Now the waters are getting kind of muddied and grayish. It's still the Word of God. No. Husbands, you're the head. Right. Now, if you got a problem with it, don't take it up with me. Take it up with the Lord. It's His Word. Ephesians 5 and verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife. Even as Christ is the head. We got no problem with Christ being the head of our church. Well, some of our churches don't have a problem with Christ being the head. But don't expect us husbands to be the head. We have some husbands who don't want to be the head.
Right.
And we have some women who won't allow their husbands to be the head. I'm talking about in our churches. First Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. We read, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. You see the order there? It's a hierarchy. God the Father is over it all. Christ, man, and a woman. That's God's order. The wife is to submit to her husband as her head. The husband is to love his wife as his own body in submission to Christ. And we know the mind of Christ. Book of John chapter 8. What did Jesus say? I do always that which pleases the Father. It's God's order. Sit down. Fourthly, husbands, you take a wife, God joins you together, it's till death.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, brother.
Amen. Matthew 19 and 6, he said, let not man put asunder. Amen. Don't let man divide. He can't dissolve that marriage. It built by God.
Amen.
God brought the male and he brought the female and he joined them together. And he only has the right to dissolve it. Romans chapter 7 and verse 2. Well, Malachi chapter 2 and verse 16. Just after verse 15, when he said, did not the Lord make one? In the 16th verse, he says, God hates putting away.
Amen.
Don't get mad at me. I'm just a messenger. It's God's word. Romans chapter 7 and verse 2. The woman and the man are bound by the law. She's bound by the law of her husband as long as he liveth. But if he be dead, she or he are loose from that law. They're set at liberty to marry only in the Lord. It's God's institution. So it's only in the Lord. All right, wives, your turn. Same thing. Wives, you're to cleave to your husband. Say, well, show me in Scripture. We don't have a passage of Scripture that says wives are to cleave, but I'll tell you what, we have an example. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Genesis. Chapter 24. Verses 58 and 59, you know the story of Abraham sends his servant to get a wife for his son Isaac, his people. And he finds one. Falls on Rebekah. Verse 58. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? She had the proposal of marriage. The choice was hers now in the Lord. And she said, I accept. I will go and I will be his wife. And they, that is her family, her brothers and her family, they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. What did they do? They loosed her. of her bonds to her family. And they sent her away to be joined unto Isaac.
To cleave to Isaac.
Turn with me now to the book of Psalms. In chapter 45. In verse 10. Hearken, O daughter, and consider and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. O daughter, forget
your family.
You're not to cleave to them. You're to cleave unto your husband. Secondly, women, your desire is to be unto your husband.
Amen.
I'm sorry, not to your children.
Right.
You have a responsibility to your children. But your desire, you're commanded, your desire is to be unto your husband. Genesis chapter 3, in verse 16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire, your longing, your cravings, is to satisfy your husband. And let me interject here. If you don't, well, that's the next point.
That's all right. It'll lead into it.
If you don't place yourself under him, then you're not, your desire is not toward him. Your longing is not towards him, towards satisfying him. That's important. Everything that you ought to do is to be towards your husband. Well, I was humbled. I guess it's a couple months ago now. Everybody's commenting on how much less of me they're seeing. And that's due to our doctor's lectures and us joining Weight Watchers and my wife slaving away in the kitchen. And one time I said, questioned her about something, I forget what it was now. She says, well, I'm doing this for you. And man, that just hit me right upside the head. She wasn't doing it for herself. She was doing it for me.
Amen.
Turn with me to the Song of Solomon. Chapter 7. We don't have time to read verses 1 through 9. What a blessed statement we have here concerning the church's bridegroom, how he feels about his bride. Wow. Wow. But notice verse 10. She says then, I am my beloved. You see, he is her beloved. But she says, I am my beloved's. And his desire, and you read verses 1 through 9, you'll see his desire is towards her. But she also professes her desire towards him. Especially in the remaining verses that are left there in Song of Solomon. Well, we got to move on. Next. We said if your desire is toward your husband, your longing, your cravings are towards him, then you're going to voluntarily, willingly, submit to his headship. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, not unto another man's or another woman's, but unto your own husband. And men, I'd like to point out here that you check the Greek in that, and that is she places herself under you. You're not walking around with a big stick. Amen. Demanding that she be in submission. You might be able to get her to outwardly submit to you, but you cannot control her heart and her longings with that big stick. Amen. That's something she does voluntarily. And you love her like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, and she's just going to melt and she's just going to fall there. Verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject in submission unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. It's God's order. You begin to see where this thing's going? As our homes get out of order, our churches get out of order. Husbands don't love their wives as Christ loved the church. Wives don't submit to their husbands. It carries over in the church. The church doesn't submit to Christ. Colossians 3:18 is more of the same. Titus 2:5, women, older women are to be teaching the younger women some things. And one of the things they're to teach them to be, what it says there in Titus chapter 3 and verse, or chapter 2 and verse 5 is that wives are to be obedient to their own husband. Well, that word obedient there is the same Greek word as submit. Okay. In Ephesians 5:22. First Peter 3:1, there again, speaking to the wives, it says, likewise, like what? Like all of us who are saved are to be subject to the powers that have been ordained of God. That's governments and principalities. We're to be subject to them in the Lord. And so wives are to be subject to their on husbands. Why? Well, you don't really know your husband's heart.
My wife didn't really know my heart. She saw signs. But he goes on to say that, in case, ladies, you have an unbelieving husband. You see, you think he's a believer, but he may not be a believer. You submit, and by your pure, your chaste conversation, manner of life, he's one to the Lord.
Ladies, again, it's till death. Romans chapter 7, verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 39. It's till death. Who dissolved the marriage? God did. Then you're loose from the law of your husband. You're free to marry only in the Lord. Husbands and wives, you're to be faithful to each other. Proverbs chapter 5. Verse 15. Drink waters out of thine own cistern. And running waters out of thine own well. Not another's. Let thy fountain be dispersed abroad. And rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own. And not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Amen. Not another. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4 tells us marriage is honorable. And the bed undefiled. In
the bonds of matrimony. That's one man, one wife.
But the adulterers and whoremongers God will judge. Now,
men, your relationship with your wife is to picture something greater than you. And wives, your relationship with your husband is to picture something greater than you.
Amen. The marriage relationship is to portray Christ and His church. It is to be a picture of the love that Christ has for His church, which He gave Himself for, and a picture of the church being in total awe and submission to Him. Ephesians 5:32. This is a great mystery. Well, I don't think it's a mystery. Husband and wife, it's been going on for thousands of years. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Every
everything that he said about the wife submitting to the husbands and the husband loving the wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, and no man yet hated his own body. He said, all this is to picture Christ and his church. We, church members, are of his body. We're of the body of Christ. Verse 30 of chapter 5 of Ephesians. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. We're formed out of his flesh, out of his bones. Does that take you back to Genesis chapter 2? We caused Adam to sleep. And out of him, he brought forth a woman. Adam's deep sleep, wherein Eve was formed out of his open side. Christ died. He slept. For his church. He gave birth to it. Husbands, love your own wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I'm ashamed. Because my married life is not pictured what it was supposed to picture. And even since I studied this and put it down notes and the Lord worked me over concerning it, it still hasn't pictured it. You pray for me. But how are you doing? How's our churches doing?